I was just in with the kids just a second ago. I just have to tell you about this. This is a blast. Cassie's got them in there, and I guess they're sort of playing yoga's version of musical chairs. They've got mats out, and then she puts on this music, and the kids run around in a circle, and then when she turns it off, everybody has to drop into a yoga pose onto a mat. And it's really cute to see little two-year-old Vivi, and they're going, holding that pose. So, you know, I started, and I'm going to talk about this for the next few weeks, because I really love this stuff. It's our common culture. Bible stories are our common culture. And I grew up going to Sunday school, where I was told the Bible stories in my Presbyterian church. And then when I had questions, that was it, you know. I want to talk today about a story of God basically deciding that the human race has gone too far. That people are just unsavable, that they have completely done everything they shouldn't do, and so God has decided that God is going to just basically wipe them off the face of the earth. He's going to drown them. Okay? So God makes the decision that God is going to drown everybody on earth. And God then does this, but as he is planning to do this, he realizes that there is one righteous person left. And so God decides he's going to keep that one righteous person. And then he decides that God is going to let that one righteous person bring other people with him so that this person can then continue humanity. Well, then God says, well, you know what? This person also needs people to keep him company, or animals to keep him company. So God then convinces this person to build something that will float, to build a boat, and to bring onto it two of every kind of animal so they'll succeed and so that they will live. Now then, of course, the rains come and the boat goes up and it just floats there for a certain amount of time, and then it comes down and everybody goes off and humanity's... God has basically rebooted humanity's operating system, is how I like to look at it. Now, the story I just told you is the story of whom? No, actually, that's the Babylonian king god Gilgamesh. Oh, wait a minute. It could be the story in the Hindu sacred story of the exact same thing. Wait a minute. The Ojibwe Indians have the exact same story, as do the Mayans, as do the Persians, as do most people on the planet. Take that in for a second. Did you have any doubt in your mind that I was telling you the story of Noah and the flood? Now, we can look at this, if you're a Christian, and say, man, God is so good, God found a way to get his stories in even other religions. Or you can look at this and you can say there's one mind, there's universal consciousness, we all understand and live the same stories, because you know what? We all live the same life. Let me say that again. We all live the same life. There's one life, that is God's life. And it is individualized in each one of us. So just for the heck of it, since there's so many, by the way, if you doubt what I say, go Wikipedia, the Great Flood. There are dozens and dozens of stories. But let's stay with ours. Let's stay with Noah. Let's talk about that. Anybody see the movie, Noah and the Ark, recently with Russell Crowe? Who knew a 600 man could look that good? They went into such detail in the movie. One of the things that I loved about the ark was it really looked like basically, because the ark is clearly described in Genesis 7. I mean, God gives you a blueprint for building an ark. And in the movie, they did pretty much that. The ark didn't need to look like a boat. It didn't need a bow and a stern. It just needed to float. And so they were very careful to show that, but somehow they left out the fact that Noah was 600 years old. Now, why was Noah 600 years old? Well, now, if you've been around me long enough, you know that every number in the Bible has a meaning. The number 6 means human beings. Human beings are created on the 6th day. So, Noah is human, and the zeros add emphasis. Noah's a really human guy. He's just a really human guy. And then God's had it, and God has decided that God is going to drown everybody. Now think about this for a second. We have this propensity, especially as New Thought devotees, to look back at people who lived 10,000 years ago like they were enlightened and we're ignorant. Okay? God bless us, I really think it's the other way around in many ways. Because not only did they think the earth was flat, they believed that they lived under a semi-permeable dome. This is in the Bible. They lived under a semi-permeable dome, and that they were surrounded on all sides by water. Because if you stand outside and wait long enough, what's going to land on your head anywhere on this planet? Water, right? If you stand outside long enough, if you dig deep enough anywhere into this planet, what are you going to find? Water. You walk far enough in any direction, you're going to find. These people were scared to death of being drowned, even though they lived in the desert. Because they had been told that all creation came out of the water in the very beginning, and there was stillness on the face of the deep. It rose out of the water. Every story, by the way, that you can find in other religions that has a great flood also starts with humanity coming out of the water. Evolutionarily speaking, that's really kind of interesting, I think. But consider this. So God creates human beings, creates everything. It comes out of the water. Metaphysically, water represents consciousness. Consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. That is a word that gets kicked around so much nowadays. Somebody actually put it into perspective for me. When you're awake, you're what? Conscious. Okay? Your consciousness is to the degree that you're awake in any particular area. Your prosperity consciousness is to the degree that you're really awake to the fact that you can and are prosperous. Your love consciousness is to the degree that you're awake and you look around and see that there is love. When we're asleep, we don't see what is around us. So out of consciousness comes creation around the world. Water represents consciousness. Out of consciousness comes creation. As you believed, so shall it be done unto you. Jesus Christ put it that way. Out of your consciousness from something comes creation. And we people are pretty good at creating things. Everything that we create first begins as a thought in our mind, then it becomes a belief. That is being conscious to it as a possibility. So we build things out of our consciousness, and then human beings tend to do what? Screw things up, wouldn't you say? Pretty well? We tend to screw things up, and then we want to start over. I'm going to get a different marriage, I'm going to get a different job, I'm going to get a different life, I'm going to get a different last name, I'm going to get a different this. I knew a guy who actually worked out at Unity Village who thought he was too dogmatic about things. He was going to change his name. He changed his name to Maybe Not. I'm not kidding, that's what this dude's name is to this day, Maybe Not. So we decide we want to change. Well, if all matter is an expression first of what? Where does it come from? What does the water represent? Consciousness. Then what do we need to make a change? We need a new what? Consciousness. We need to look at things differently. We need to believe that things are and can be differently. That's the hardest part. That is why people who are raised in poverty have so much trouble getting out of it, because their frame of reference is poverty, and therefore their consciousness is poverty. When I was a kid, as you all know, I was very fat. My older brother was very fat. My mother struggled with weight. Why? Because obesity is hereditary. No, it's not. It's environmental. It might as well be. But whoever you're around is affecting your consciousness. So, You've wanted to create something. You've created it. You've brought it from the consciousness, from the water, into reality. You're not so crazy about it. You want to change it now. You want something different. And that's okay. You know what that means? You're growing. We judge ourselves. Like, what is it wrong with me that I always want more? That desire inside of you to want more is what keeps us moving forward. It's what gets us excited. That's what releases dopamine. They say that you enjoy a new car far more on the way to pick it up than you do driving it home. So you now have a consciousness. You now have a desire that you want something different. What do? Well, the problem is you're on this earth plane. You're in your reality where everybody else is reflecting that consciousness back to you. You're a this. You're a this level. You're a this person. You're a this age. And we believe it. So then what's the real story of Noah and the ark? By the way, you remember last week I was talking about how we read along and the Bible all of a sudden contradicts itself, and it does that a lot. And the reason for that was at one point Israel split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. For 600 years, they both wrote out Bible stories. When they got back together, they weren't going to say, yours is right, mine is wrong, so they put them in twice. How many animals did Noah, I just told you, how many animals, don't pay attention to me, how many animals did Noah take on the ark? Of each, two of each, right? Well, in one segment, it does say that Noah took two of each animal onto the ark. Then if you go about one passage later, it says he took seven of the clean animals and two of the unclean animals, male and female. Find it interesting. He took an odd number of the clean animals. But then we find out why. According to the Bible, Noah does two things. I'm sorry, this sounds really bad. He does two things in this order after having been cooped up with every animal and insect on the planet, plus his family. You think it's hard enough when you go on a vacation with your whole family? Try taking every animal on the planet. So then he gets off, and what is the first thing Noah does? He sacrifices one of each of the animals. They didn't teach you that in Sunday school. So hopefully it wasn't just two animals, by the way. Then the next thing Noah does is he grows a vineyard, makes wine, and gets hammered. I guess Noah was trying to elevate his consciousness, or at least lessen a little bit of the stress after all of this. For you to be different, for your life to be different, the only thing that has to change is your belief about yourself. You have to have a new consciousness about yourself. You have to awaken to a new consciousness. And whatever it is that's in your life right now is pulling you. Your desire is pulling you to awaken to a new consciousness. So how do you do that? How do you awaken to a new consciousness? How do you really change? Most people try in their lives to change, and they end up falling right back. Noah gives us the answer right here. You take one of each of your male and your female. What is that? Your male are your thoughts. Your female are your feelings. You have a new thought and a new feeling about what it is you want to do. If you're working at Kmart and you want to go and become a flight attendant, you begin to have a consciousness and see yourself as a flight attendant. You absolutely believe that. You have the thought, what am I going to do as this kind of attendant, as this person? What am I going to do in this new position? And then you have the feelings associated. What do those feelings feel like? And then what you have to do is you have to hold them at a very high level in consciousness. You with me so far? Whatever it is you want in your life, get the thought of what it's like to actually be doing it and the feeling of it. Elevate it and hold it. Put yourself in that space and stay there. How long? How long did Noah float on the water? Anybody remember? It's the same Who said it? 40 days and 40 nights, right? Same amount of time Jesus was in the desert. 40 days and 40 nights appears 149 times in the Bible. Because the number 4 means an indeterminately long enough period. And 0 means really. Remember? So he was on the, he had to stay up there with those animals a really long time. Not 40 days and 40 nights, long enough. Long enough. I once heard a guy say, it's not how big you can dream, it's how long you can dream big. When you make a big dream, I'm going to do this, you know what happens? Your body kicks dopamine and everything else, and you feel really good and excited, and then you go back about your life as the way it was. To make a change, we have to change our thoughts. We have to change our feelings. And how long do we hold them there? A long time. Long enough. Long enough. You can stop visualizing, feeling, thinking about your goals as soon as you have them. I like to visualize that God literally has everything that we want, whatever it is, and when we start discerning it and we start attuning ourselves, there's that word that Jesus used again, attuning ourselves to that energy of that thing, we start moving towards it. And as soon as we start to doubt, it moves further away. So we take our thoughts and our feelings high enough and we hold them there long enough. Remember that everybody on the ground was telling Noah that this was a stupid idea and you shouldn't do it? That's why Noah had to get away from all those people. And sometimes you know what we have to do? We have to get away from people. It's called necessary endings. But anything we want to change, the secret's right there in this little story. Get your thoughts and your feelings of what it's like. Elevate your internal heights and hold them there until you experience it. It's the same thing in Think and Grow Rich and every other motivational. The secret, everything else is telling you the story of Noah's Ark. Grab somebody's hand. Let's take a moment. Close in prayer. Thank you, God, that we can activate ourselves as part of this principle. And the principle is simply to have the thoughts and feelings to close out the current reality, because the reality is an expression of what we had thought and felt before. We open our hearts and our minds to what it is we wish to become. We know that it is a divine call. And we know that by maintaining our internal heights, we cannot help but reach them. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.